Well, welcome, guys. We're really glad that you're here tonight. Welcome to New Bedford, Massachusetts. That's right. Carrie Cruz is excited. We're so glad that you're here. Our church is excited that you guys are here. So there's just a few of us from our church that are here tonight. But on tomorrow you'll meet more. Sunday you'll meet the rest of the body. We're really excited to show you our city, to show you the ministry that God has given Grace Harbor Church. We hope and pray that you guys are excited as well. Hopefully this isn't one of those trips that you dreaded going on. Hopefully this is, although we have about 10 people right now stuck in Connecticut traffic. So, you know, they're like rethinking their life right now. So let me begin by just saying this, that I'm fully aware that many of you have used vacation to be here. I'm fully aware that many of you have spent your own dollars to come, and that you've taken time away from your families and your work and your life. You've made a great sacrifice to spend the weekend here exploring what God might have in store for you, your church, our churches together. And so I just want you to hear my heart when I say thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for reorganizing your life so you guys could come. We're so grateful for your time. Thank you for using your vacation to come to New Bedford. Before I get started tonight, I do want to just touch on just some general information for you that you might find helpful for this weekend, some general instructions. First and foremost, we have 4 restrooms located on this aircraft, 2 at the front, 1 family restroom back here in case you need a shower as well, and then 1 claustrophobic restroom up in the library upstairs. So that's good to know. Also, on your tables, you guys should have got lanyards. Please wear those all weekend. We would love to ask you to do that. Our church is eager to meet you. They're eager to get to know you. One of the ways that you can help them do that is by keeping your name tag on so they don't feel awkward in asking you for your name for the 4th time in a row, because that's what people do. And finally, they just give up. So if you have the lanyard on, that'll be one great way that you can serve them. Also, on the back of that lanyard, for those of you who are type A and want to know every detail of what's going on, there's a general schedule on the back for you that kind of talks about the weekend. So feel free to look at that. You might find that helpful. All of you are staying tonight and this weekend with members of our church. That's intentional. It's another way that we want you to get to know us and who we are. Get to know us a little bit. You'll be having breakfast most mornings at your host homes. So your host homes are prepared for that. They'll take care of you that way. On Saturday, tomorrow, you're going to be here most of the day. We have our Gospel Hope Conference that begins tomorrow. It'll run from about 8:30, 8:45 till about 2:30. And then later in the afternoon, we are going to pile into some vehicles, and we're going to go do some neighborhood tours and take you to, when we talk about forgotten, neighborhood churches for forgotten places, we want to show you these forgotten places and spend some time dreaming together about how God might use our churches to work together. And then tomorrow evening, we'll finish the day down on the pier, eating dinner together and grabbing some dessert. On Sunday, we'll gather here for the Lord's Day gathering. After that, our gathering starts at 10 a.m. We're usually done by noonish, 11:30, noon. After that, we'll be back down here in this room for a Q&A luncheon. So be sure to save, gather up any questions that you guys might have from anything and everything. So everything, read those books, all that information, anything about our Sunday gathering, anything about our city, you'll have a time to ask all those questions on Sunday afternoon at our Q&A panel. And then after that, we will go and do another neighborhood tour of the north end of our city. And then we'll finish the day together by having dinner at members' homes with three of our community groups. So we run midweek community groups, and we have three of them, and they're going to come together, and they're going to throw a dinner for you guys, and it's just going to be another way for you to rub shoulders with people in our church. And those of you who are visiting, I would really encourage you to ask them their story. Ask them, like, how they met Jesus, how did they get here, how did they hear about Grace Harbor, what are some of the cool things that the Lord has done. It'll be great. And then Monday is short. We'll meet here, back here early for donuts and coffee. And then we'll also do a short little trip debrief before we load you guys back up and we take you to the airport. So that's just a quick general kind of picture of the weekend, what it will look like. I do want to make just kind of one small disclaimer so that we can all have kind of just, I don't know, appropriate expectations. We're a very, very, very small team. And this, for us, this weekender, this conference is enormous. It's enormous for our church. And what that means is at some point this weekend, we're going to let you down. Something's going to happen that we didn't intend. Something that we intended to happen isn't going to happen. You might experience something that was overlooked or something that slipped through the cracks. Something that we wanted to do, but for whatever reason, last minute, we just couldn't do it. We just want you to know that when that happens, please know that wasn't our intentions. That we love you guys. We're so thankful for you. We're glad you're here. Please be gracious. Let us know, and we'll do our best to fix it. I don't know that we can, but we'll try. And so if something isn't working out for you at one of the places you're staying or anything like that, just let us know, and we'll do our best to figure it out. But I just want to throw that disclaimer out there so that we can under-promise and pray that the Lord might over-deliver. And so set all those expectations. Also, if along the course of the weekend you guys notice or you're talking to one of our volunteers, I would encourage you to encourage them. They would be really blessed to hear because they've never done this before and everybody's a little nervous and doesn't know what to do. And so one of the ways that you can serve them this weekend is just by just thanking them, encouraging them. That would be a real blessing to them. What else I got? Your table hosts and even our volunteers. So unlike other kind of things you go to, conferences, where you simply go to attend, our hope with these weekenders is that as you would come to not just attend, but to engage. So we want it to be a little different in that aspect. You're not here just to receive information. You're here to actually engage and commune with the people. So tomorrow's conference is going to be great. You're going to want to take notes for sure. But primarily, the reason that you guys are here is not just to observe, but to participate, to get to know us by asking questions, getting to know our stories, hearing and listening and asking about our heart for the city, why we're laboring so hard to establish neighborhood churches and forgotten places, why we've just kind of just reoriented our life to this type of work. And so we just want to invite you into that. So please feel free to just, you know, slow down, strike up a conversation, engage with one of our volunteers, engage with the table host that you have. Most of our, we have less table hosts tonight, but two of our table hosts aren't necessarily part of Grace Harbor, but they're connected to Grace Harbor in a unique way. And so feel free to ask them about their lives, how they got connected to Grace Harbor, why they appreciate the ministry here. I think you'll be blessed. And then just the last piece of information for tonight before I kind of transition us is we do want to send you home with a gift to remember us by. And so back here on that back pew over there, there is a T-shirt for each one of you there's a bunch of different sizes. Somebody, Kat, Kara, Shane, somebody will be back there working that, and we'll help you figure that out. But please, after our time together tonight, grab one of those. All right. Well, what I want to do now is I want to transition and talk about all of the reasons why you're here. Some of you guys have been partners with us for a good amount of time, a while now. Some of you have just recently come on as partners. Some of you guys are here representing your church as you guys are thinking about what it might look like to develop a strategic partnership and to be on mission together here. And so this evening, what I want to do for about 30 minutes or so is just kind of lay some groundwork for the rest of our weekend together. And I want to do that by talking about the why, the what, and the how of what a strategic partnership with Grace Harbor Church, neighborhood churches, entails, and what it looks like, why it's essential, and then also what I really want to kind of highlight and touch on is how it not only helps us, but how it actually helps your church to accomplish the Great Commission. And I'll start by framing it this way, by asking a question. If you guys were to live in an area where, apart from your church, you could not think of another church to ever recommend anyone to attend, what would you do? Maybe another way to kind of phrase that question is if you lived in a region where you cannot, in good conscience, encourage anyone to attend another church because you just weren't real confident, you weren't really sure that if they were to go there, they would hear the gospel, that they would clearly it would be presented as actually good news. What would you do if it was just your church? Well, you might consider doing a number of things, but hopefully one of the things that you would do, or at least that would be at the top of your prayer list, is that you know, as you're kind of like feeling just stuck on an island, perhaps all by yourself, is you might begin to pray, and a prayer that you might pray is, God, make your name known here. Right? Lord, by the power of your word, begin to save people. If you're living in the land of the blind, you know, the best prayer to pray is God, would you cause blind people to see, right? Well, the New Testament is pretty clear that God's evangelistic plan for doing that very thing is the local church. In fact, I'll be preaching this on Sunday. The Great Commission is a command to churches, right, both individually and corporately together, to go forth and make disciples, which means if that's the case, then the second thing on our prayer list should be, okay, then God, establish churches here, right? If we're praying that you would restore sight to the blind, and if your primary means of doing that is the local church, then okay, I want to readjust my prayer to now, God, establish more churches. Well, one of the things that I've been encouraged by through just being around church planning for almost 20 years now, is that it seems as if we here at least in the States have begun to figure out that it's not healthy, or should it ever be legal, to just send a pastor into a city with his family to kind of parachute in and pray and that just a church pops up. I think one of the things that we're beginning to figure out after about 30 years of church planning movements here is that the way that God establishes local churches, new works, is that he uses Christians to come together and to plan and to establish those new works together. So it's not just a pastor doing it. It's actually a group of Christians. And historically, that's actually been the way that church planning has historically been done for thousands of years. So in light of that, we're again beginning to refine our prayer a little bit. So now what we might find ourselves praying is, okay, God, yes, restore sight to the blind. Yes, do it through establishing new local churches. But I guess maybe, God, we should start by praying, send us Christians so that churches can be planted, so that churches can be revitalized, so that we can make disciples, baptize new believers, and teach them to follow all of Jesus' commands. So as we think about the Great Commission, what we're thinking about it through the lens is of, yeah, we would love to get to that end goal, but to get to that end goal, we need to back up a few steps. Which brings us to the very heart of why we've invited you guys to come here this weekend, to be here with us. You're here because we need your help, but you're also here because whether you know it or not, your church needs our help. And so let me explain what I mean by that a little bit. So for decades, actually generations, this region of the United States has been fertile ground for liberal and kind of prosperity gospel churches. And at the same time, it's become barren ground, kind of barren, like wayside, void of strong gospel exalting churches for a long time. At the same time, many churches in different parts of the country where Christianity is a little more culturally accepted, often find themselves swimming and fishing the same pond, kind of just you know, swapping fish tanks around and losing a passion for reaching the lost in their own context. So what we want to do this weekend is propose to you a remedy for both. We want to talk about how we together, your church, our church, can partner together, how your church can come help bring in the harvest here, and then as you do, how that will actually teach, model, and spur your church to do the very same work in its own backyard. So that being the case, what we've invited you to do here with us this weekend is to dream with us. To dream not about what currently is, but really about what could be. What could happen if the 5-6 churches that are represented here for this weekender, to steal a very familiar phrase to us all, cooperated together, right? Focused our resources, our efforts, our people. Focus them to change the spiritual orientation of an entire region over the next 10, 15, Lord willing, 30 years. And then how might your faithfulness in doing so actually begin to retrain, increase, and release those in your own churches and fresh ways for gospel mission in your own part of the country? So I want to start tonight with the why. Let's talk about the why. The why you're here. Well, the most obvious reason is that you are, you know, you guys are all part of churches that are like-minded in mission. You want to see the lost reached for Christ. You want to see healthy gospel-exalting churches established and flourish in areas that it's currently not. And I want to be clear that as I talk about that and I use that language, that doesn't mean that there aren't churches being started here in New England. There actually are. In fact, since 2005, the North American Mission Board alone has, through Greater Boston and the Greater Boston area, has planted 86 churches. Currently, for 2022-2023, there are 26 churches in the pipeline. So roughly in the past 17 years, there's been about 100 churches planted in the greater Boston area. And we praise God for that. But our concern and our burden is not for the churches that are, is I'm sorry, it's for the churches that are not being planted. You see, during that time, guess how many churches were planted in New Bedford, Fall River, an area roughly of a quarter million people, 250,000 people, New Bedford being the fourth largest city in Massachusetts. How many do you think might have been planted there? None. None in 17 years, except for one, this one. And there's good reasons for that. We understand that, you know, people are attracted to plant churches where they have passion, where they're passionate about, and there's heartstrings that connect people to those areas. But one of the things that we're recognizing is that cities like ours here, cities that are predominantly poor working class, that one, no you know, they're not, people aren't coming here to plant churches. And there's not an abundance of churches that we would ever recommend anyone to go to. And again, like I said, the reasons are obvious. It's predominantly poor working class. We have high crime rates, poor schools. Like we get it. And yet, as we understand the scriptures, as we read them, we're burdened to believe that planting churches in these types of neighborhoods, poor working class cities, forgotten places, should not be the exception to the rule, but should be normative. So that brings us to the what. What we have found to be true is that often churches, many churches, don't have a very any type of pipeline built out in their own ministries for raising up ministry workers within the context of their own local church. If a person was to come up through the ranks of your church and express a desire for vocational ministry to serve in God's church, most often what happens is we tend to point them towards seminaries. And we kind of just trust and hope and pray that they'll get it all sorted out in seminary, and God, the seminaries will set them on a trajectory. And for some, that's fine, that's good. But for others, I mean, that might not be the best thing. That actually might not serve them well. You see, in fact, there are some people in your churches that perhaps God might be calling them to serve in the mission field, but they don't feel called to go overseas. So what do? Well, they kind of just keep swimming around the pond, and they don't really have an outlet to go anywhere. There might be some in your churches who you have perhaps a recent high school graduate or a college graduate who wants to take a gap year and is beginning to feel God kind of stir in them this desire to serve His church, but they just don't know where really to work that out, and so they do what's most pragmatic, and they sign up for some classes that they're going to regret taking, right? Or something like that. Some of you might even have some retired people in your local churches that feel God calling them to steward their retirement for gospel mission, but man, they just don't even know where to begin to explore that opportunity yet. And so, what we want to consider is what do we do with these people? How can we build a pipeline, a structure that even maybe even for some of maybe those who are serving in your church as deacons or elders or men that aspire to be so, if they were to come to you and say, man, I feel like I might one day like to pastor, I might one day like to plant a church. I wonder how many of us could take that guy and with 2 to 3 years worth of training and equipping could prepare him to plant a church. What do you do with these type of people? Right? If the Great Commission is both individual and corporate mandate, are your churches equipped to make missionaries and ministry workers in the context of your church? And for those of your churches that are not equipped to do that, we would love to help you figure that out. We would love to help you build a pipeline to do that very thing. For those of you who are coming from churches that have some of those pieces already in place, we would love to come alongside you and be an option and an outpost for your church to now send missionaries to. So maybe you're thinking like, well, we have the means to help train up and to disciple. We just don't really know where to send them. We would love for you to consider New Bedford, Fall River, this area of New England being that place. So in other words, what we want to invite you to partner in with neighborhood churches is a means for your church raising up missionaries and gospel workers. We want to partner with you to invite you to send people and to come yourself as a church to labor in the fields with us, and perhaps we send people back home to you better, more equipped to serve in your own neighborhood, your own community. Perhaps maybe some of them stay here and labor faithfully for years to come. That brings us to the how. So we've talked about the why, we've talked about the what. Now I want to talk about, okay, how? How does How does all of that happen? How does all that take place? How might all that work? Well, it all begins kind of with, in our mind, with this weekend. With this weekender. The very first thing that we want you to do is we want you to experience the ministry of Grace Harbor Church. We want you to come, we want you to hear, we want you to see how we love and shepherd God's people, how we handle the scriptures, how impassionate we are and how serious we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ reaching the lost in our city. After you do that, our prayer is that you would go home as a team to your individual churches, and that you would prayerfully consider and decide whether or not to formalize a partnership for the purpose of making disciples and reaching the lost in our region. Once you've committed to do that, we want to ask you to, as often as it makes sense for your church to do, to come back here and bring teams with you. Okay? We want your church to get to know our church in every single way. We want our church to get to know you. We want your people to come and to leave with the phone numbers of our people so that you can, you know, text Carrie Jane throughout the month and encourage her, and she can text Bobby, and just that there could be just this relation, edifying in Christ relationship happening that wouldn't normally be able to happen or to develop. And the primary means of making this type of relationship, this type of good work happening, is by bringing mission teams. You see, God uses mission teams here in big ways to increase our relational footprint in our neighborhoods. We're a small church, but when teams come in, it allows us to cast big nets and moves the ball forward for us in really some pretty beautiful, significant ways. We've spent tons of time and hours thinking about how to make mission trips the best possible experience for both churches, both us and for your churches. Our heart is that as you bring your church to New Bedford, to our city, that it would not only serve us or our city, but that it would be that God would use it in a really formative experience in the heart of your own people and in the life of your church. And so to do this, what we have kind of developed is four different types of mission teams that we invite churches to come on. One is just a construction team. We always have construction projects happening around here. Another one is a service project trip, working the neighborhood, doing different, with some of our different partnerships, serving that way. Another one is a sports camp. We have a really good relationship with the elementary school that's across the street. And the other one is evangelistic trips. And once your church has decided, okay, hey, we're in. We want to partner. We want to strategically make Grace Harbor Church, neighborhood churches, part of our missions budget, part of our missional focus. We're committed. We want to come on a trip. The first thing we do is we email you out a 23-page document called Prepare to Serve that teaches you and walks your entire church through preparing to come to New Bedford. And you get that months and months in advance because we want you to prepare months and months in advance for coming here. We want your whole church to get the most out of sending your little team. So it's actually an exercise not only for your team, it's actually an exercise for your whole... Did I, we sent one to you? You guys? Have you got that? Yeah. You're working through it? That's awesome. The next thing we want you to do, about 2 weeks before your trip, you're going to get in the mail from Mrs. Kat Izzy, you're going to get these little black books called Mission New Bedford. And those are what we call our field manuals. And the reason we want to send those out to you is because the common mistake that's often made is thinking that, okay, a mission trip starts when our boots hit the ground. That's actually not the case. A good mission trip starts well in advance. And so we're gonna send you out these field manuals for your team to begin to prepare their hearts for serving. It's a 21-day field manual with daily devotionals in there. It starts 7 days before you arrive. 7 days on site and 7 days after you go home. And the whole goal of that is to lead the spiritual development of your church. We don't just want you to come serve. We're not after poverty tourism, right? Like if you coming on a mission trip here doesn't bless your church as much as or more than it blessed us, then man, that's just not a good use of your kingdom dollars. Like, you guys ought to be putting that money to better use somewhere else. So we want to, in every single way, we want to equip you guys to get the most. Man, we just want it to be formative for your church. Often people will ask, okay, and it's all in the information we send you, but what do these trips cost? Well, they're pretty cheap. They're pretty cheap because they're no frills. Like your team actually is going to come sleep in this room on cots. It's cot city. You shower in the family restroom back there. You do your laundry in the laundry room over here. And that little refrigerator is our refrigerator. We just got a bigger one. So they're pretty cheap. So our trips, they cost, we charge $125 per person for a trip fee. That covers all of our expenses. And then it's $30 a day. Last time I checked, we try to keep it pretty inexpensive and affordable so that you guys can do it as often as possible. Whether it's a spring break, whether it's a summer break, a winter break, we would love for you guys to come as much as you can. Because what we want you to do is we want you to come often. We want you to come year after year. And we want you to begin to build upon the relationships that you began before when you were here. Perhaps you might, one day even send one of the someone from your church to be a ministry worker here who's been here several times, who has a history with our church, who knows multiple people in our church. Maybe you send them here either on a short-term trip or a long-term trip. And so again, just so we're all tracking with each other, because this is, in my understanding of what this weekend's about, tonight's session is the most important. Everything else is great, but if you leave this weekender confused in any way, it's a fail. So vision trip weekend leads to a partnership, potentially, if God would have you do that. Partnership leads to sending mission teams. Mission teams, Lord willing, sends to sending ministry workers. And then that leads to sending church planters. So our not-so-secret hope is that as you bring mission teams here year after year after year, that perhaps the Lord would capture one or two people's hearts for New England. Perhaps he would capture their heart for serving the least, the last, and the lost. Perhaps they might even consider moving here and serving alongside of us. So what that means then for some is if you have college students in your in your churches that are considering to go to college anywhere, maybe they might consider coming to college here, right? Maybe if you have people in your church that can work remotely from anywhere, maybe they might consider moving here and living on mission as just members of a new church. If you have someone that can retire from anywhere, maybe they would consider retiring here and stewarding their days as a full-time missionary, reaching their generation and those who will be living among. That's our hope. That's our desire. Now for those of you who are feeling like who might have people in your church that are like, okay, but we have people that have a particular calling to ministry. Like, maybe it's just not volunteer, maybe like they actually want to be developed. What does that look like as we think about partnering with Grace Harbor Church? Well, we have a number of different ways that we would love to invite those people as well. We call these positions ministry worker positions. And you can read all about them in that big booklet that you have, the info packet booklet. But we have really kind of five different categories of that. We have our city internships that are for people from here in New Bedford. We have a 12-week internship. So for those of you who have some college students that want to take you know, that don't know what to do with their summer or something like that. We have a 1 and 2 year internship for people who want to take a gap year, or just, again, maybe they're older and want to come for and serve for a year. We also have our gospel workers, which are kind of our urban missionaries. They serve on staff full time. They have lots of responsibilities, but they're missionaries here to the city. And then we also have church planters who we're praying that God would bring here to get contextualized training so that we can send them out into these forgotten neighborhoods and to plant and establish neighborhood churches. Now, again, I just want to make sure we're putting all this together. How does all of this lead to your churches actually helping plant churches in New Bedford? Well, like I said, some of this is not necessarily what is, but it's what could be, right? So we're dreaming together. But the way that we see all these pieces coming together is that as you come here for a weekend vision trip, especially those of you who are pastors, elders, as you're here, and we take you to neighborhoods that we're praying that God would one day put a church in. Perhaps you leave here, you formalize a partnership, and we ask you, hey, when you were here, did God give you a particular burden for any particular neighborhood? And if he did, what we want to do when you return with a mission team is we want to put you in that neighborhood, beginning to till the soil for, Lord willing, a potential church plant. We want to put you there year after year in that neighborhood, serving that community, serving those streets. And then maybe as God is beginning to form a team and you send a ministry worker up here, or perhaps maybe even a church planter might even come up from your own church, they're already familiar with that neighborhood. They already have a heart for that neighborhood. They've already been serving in that neighborhood summer after summer. We would love to be able to very quickly begin to move in that direction. And then also as you're beginning to think about stewarding your mission dollars, man, we want to put your dollars where your heart is, and use that to plant and revitalize churches, to train missionaries and ministry workers for those contacts. So some churches have money and no mission. We have mission and no money. we want to try to Christian mingle and see if there might be a good match. All right. So in your info packet, you have everything that you could ever want to know about us, about neighborhood churches, about our hopes, our dreams, our desires, how we want to partner with you. We don't want you to feel sucker punched in any way whatsoever. Okay? We're praying that God would geographically relocate sheep from your flock. And equip them and give them a gospel burden to come here and serve. That's what we're praying for. If you want to know how we think about discipling our church members, raising up deacons, preparing elders, equipping church planters, that's all there on pages 7 through 17. If you want to know the full process of what that might look like to send a missionary, a ministry worker here, like what does it look like to do that? What's the process that they have to, you know, what would that entail? What would their job description be? All that's found on pages 20 through 67. If you want to know the process of actually, okay, we've identified someone, we're sending them, what does it look like for them to accept an offer and a position, to be deputized, to begin raising support, to be preparing to move here, our onboarding process, all of that? You can find that on pages 70 through 117. All right. So, friends, man, I know that was a lot of information. We want to do this on the front end so that you can go home to your host homes tonight and spend time in it this weekend, just reading, circling, mark it up, ask questions. But this really is the heaviest kind of part of the lifting for your trip here on the front end. And the reality is, man, we value you and your churches so much that we want you guys to be well informed. All right. Everybody got all that?